Welcome to Present Company, the Netflix podcast that brings you dynamic conversations with exceptional people behind your favorite series, films, documentaries, and specials. I'm your host, Krista Smith. For years, I was Vanity Fair's ambassador to Hollywood, interviewing countless actors as well as creatives and authorities across the spectrum. My passion is talent, any form of it. How do you know you have it? How do you cultivate it? How do you protect it? And also, I want to get to the heart of what drives it. On this podcast, I'll be talking to people in Hollywood and far beyond. Thank you for joining me. It's a real joy to introduce today's conversation with Adam Driver. He's an actor whose talent, as well as his work ethic, always leaves a profound impression on me every time I see him. His career has taken him from television to independent film to the world of Star Wars. But even though his success has reached a dizzying altitude, he has kept a steady eye on his priorities. He joins me to discuss his new film, Marriage Story, from Academy Award-nominated filmmaker Noah Baumbach, in which he plays Charlie, a husband and father who is navigating a marriage falling apart. It's a stunning performance, one you'll be thinking about long after the film is finished. In this conversation, we talk about Adam's background, his foundation that brings the arts into the military, his friendship with Noah, and of course, we talk a little Kylo Ren too. Enjoy.
It's great to see you, Adam.
It's good to see you.
I was looking at your IMDb page, as one does, and I realized, like, 2009, you basically sad card with Law and Order and a couple other little shorts, and now here we are. It's been 10 years, and now look where we are.
Yeah.
It's, like, amazing.
Yeah, it's very surreal.
Right? Has your relationship changed to your work in the past decade, or is it still kind of the form that it was even when you were starting out?
That is a good question. I think that there are certain things that I've found to be more economical with as far as working with, because I just have an understanding of film sets and so things like that. I mean, when I graduated, my goal was just to make a living as an actor. And that would have been a miracle in and of itself. And it is a miracle. But to have worked with the people that I got to work with, I couldn't begin to think that that was going to, that was in the cards for me. But I don't know that that, I mean, yes and no. My relationship to how I move about the world has changed because of being an actor. I don't know. That's kind of a big question. It's hard for me to pick one thing. The way of working hasn't really, I've figured out kind of what I like more, which is to, not necessarily in terms of projects, but in of not having a right answer when I am doing things, to kind of, you know, acting is very much a service industry. So I think I have learned better to not come in on a set and impose my way of working.
Right.
To let the director set the pace and the, and really to think about if I'm here to tell his story. And I there's ways I like that are working that I prefer, but I also know the benefit of working outside your comfort zone, because then they kind of inform the things that you thought you needed on set that you actually don't need, maybe. Mm-hmm. That you think that what you're doing is shifting tectonic plates, but it's actually that I need less on a set. I guess I've learned that. And I mean, but there's lots of things that it's changed. It's changed everything in a way, and then also nothing has changed. I've never figured anything out. I worked really early with like Frank Langella and Diane Wiest, and I saw the anxiety in them. These two people who I had, you know, these long careers and have done many things. And I'm like, that's the great thing about this job and why you can do it for so long, is that you never figure anything out. And that's the terrible thing about this job, is that you really have to figure out a way of coming at peace of not knowing anything. So I think that's something that you have to have that you get to explore, hopefully, for as long as you want to do it. But
that's also what keeps you motivated. What I love about your performances is, and I can think of very few actors that have it, you just have such a sense of immediacy on screen. Like it is, just like you're present, and it's a sense of immediate and urgency that's happening, even in the quietest moments, even when you're not doing anything. And obviously you've always had that. You are who you are. We bring part of ourselves into our work. But did that get refined at Juilliard, or how did they not beat that out of you at Juilliard? Like, how have you retained that? And I mean, I guess it's kind of that's a hard question to answer. But I guess my question to you would be is how have you evolved from yourself wanting to be an actor, going through Juilliard, and having that quality on screen still?
I think at Juilliard, I became aware of time management in a way, and also just coming out of my life before then, and being in the military, and coming from Indiana, I think I learned that a lot of things that you can do in a day, and that time management was a really big part of an actor's life. Mm-hmm. And so when we're working, I guess I think it's an incredible opportunity that we're. And this is why I like working with Noah so much. It's what an amazing thing that we get to make a movie, that we're going to make a document or tell a story. We're going to film it, and it's going to last forever. And we're going to isolate ourselves away from our family. Someone's going to pay us millions of dollars to be there. People in the crew are not with their family either. And the work days are going to be 12 to 14 hours. They're going to be really long for a long extended period of time for months on end. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? And and then ask an audience to take 2.5 hours out of their lives to watch it, you know, with the hopes of that it'll find an audience in a culture that maybe has nothing to do with you, that either serves as an informative thing or as inspiration or as a thing that maybe articulates a thought in them that they hadn't thought of before, or within them, with themselves, or within their community. That's what an awesome opportunity that is. How do you not take that as seriously as possible? And Noah, I feel like we share this thing. I mean, again, this is trying to comment on a quality that I feel is almost arrogant to say, but
I can say it. But your relationship with Noah, to me, he has an incredible ability to exploit your seriousness and your instinct for comedy. And he uses both of them. And that is what I love about Charlie in this particular role that we're going to talk about, obviously for Marriage Story, that you did. It was like, it's like a lit stick of dynamite, this character for you. And I think that Noah really, your connection allowed you two to create this character, that he was able to use all of your best bits.
Yeah, that's a nice way of saying that. Yeah, that's I like that idea. Mm-hmm. If that's true. I mean, he is. He wrote something that that's a good thing about also with working with friends, where it does save you a lot of time. I feel like on set you can't keep yourself away from the director, or you can't hide yourself from the actors or the other people on the set. It would do the thing itself a disservice if you kept something that related to the movie, I think, private, you know. So because we know each other so much more intimately than other relationships that I have with other directors, that getting to know you period of you know, cutting to the point really quick is it's just faster, you know. And I know what he his instincts and tastes on things, and he knows the things that I'm worried about, and I think maybe that it just helps. It helps. Also, it's like I don't often separate the balance of friends and work relationships. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're often intertwined. You're isolated with these people under an incredible amount of stress. Mm-hmm. Some people really rise to the occasion and show that they're there they have your back. And you inevitably bond over that. Then you just want to keep creating. I mean, I feel like with all my relationships in life, you always want to, you learn a lot about someone through work. So again, I don't know if this is really answering your question.
But. No, it is. It's, and you also had this unique triangle, this between you and Scarlett and Noah, because it's this three-hander in a way. And the way he balanced both the emotions and the screen time and the all of it, it's just perfectly balanced. Yeah. How was that working working with Scarlett and Noah through all that? Did you like the rehearsing of it and... Just talk to me a little bit about that, working with her and him.
Scarlett, I think having come from theater really helped. And also Noah comes from theater also. So, and same with Scarlett. Mm-hmm. So there was a like-mindedness about how to manage time during rehearsals that we didn't need to talk, that we didn't need to, you know, say. So it felt really organic right away. And I don't know, maybe necessarily I can attribute that to being from the theater, but it felt like the way we rehearsed it felt very much like rehearsing a play. We were in some like, you know, overly lit, you know, basement. We blocked out everything on the floor, just like you do in a rehearsal. And for 2 weeks, you know, went over the fight. Then we went into the, and all of our scenes, we go into the space we're shooting it. We rehearsed it there too. So, again, I think that it could have been a totally different experience if we weren't working with people like Scarlett, who weren't available immediately. Mm-hmm. So it was great, is the short answer.
Do you have a checks and balances with Noah, like when you know you've got it as an actor and he may think he doesn't have it as a director? Do you guys ever reach that point?
Oh, all the time. I think we also suffer from the same disease of, well, let's just do it again. Let's just do it again to make sure, And then let's just do a couple just as an exercise. And then let's go back and do a couple more. And then we keep pressing the schedule because we want to, there's no right answer to it. There's no right way to play it. And we're not going to come back here and do it again. This, mm-hmm. this is like the one of the few jobs you kind of got to get it right the first time, mm-hmm. So we don't want to leave any stone unturned, but we definitely enable each other's bad behavior. I'd be curious to actually to find out which ones that he does wind up using. I think it varies.
Obviously you love the stage and you did Burn This and you went to conservatory and all of that stuff. But in terms of filmmaking, what's your favorite part of the process for you? Is it the rehearsing and the figuring it out? Is it the morning when you know you're going to wake up and shoot a certain scene?
The making of it on the day. That's my favorite part of it. The problem solving in the moment. That's my favorite part, whether it be like a technical thing or it's the most, the hottest part of the fire, mm-hmm. is where we're either racing the clock or there's a problem with the baby or the dog, or there's a problem with the camera, like that's my favorite part of, there's a murder.
Yeah, upstairs.
I like that part, the making of it, uh-huh. not the anticipation, because that is the hardest part, I think. But the actual on the day shooting, that's mm-hmm. my favorite part.
Have you felt like the further you've gone, like we talked about 10 years now, and obviously with Star Wars and the enormous impact that Oz got to have on your life and also your career and building these, Patterson, working with Jarmusch, and obviously this movie with Noah, which I think is a perfect film. I love it so much. Oh. Do you feel more pressure now and more deliberate in your choices, or are you still kind of, can you exist freely in what's responding to you, or you feel like there's other things you have to check off now?
No, I at the beginning of my career, I just did anything mm-hmm. that anyone asked me to do, because I had no faith that I was ever going to work. So then I became to a point where I got to choose the things that I wanted to do in a way, not entirely, but like of the things that I, mm-hmm. people asked me to do. But those have kind of seemed like no brainers to me. So I feel no pressure to do any specific thing. It's a director's medium. So it just seems to make sense that you would want to try to work with great directors. And I've been really lucky enough mm-hmm. to do that, but I feel no like pressure to stay in a, do a bigger movie or a smaller right. movie. It's always, and even Star Wars, I wanted to do because JJ was directing it, mm-hmm. And lucked out that, Ryan was the next person to direct it. So it still has all felt like indie movies to me, or smaller, because the conversations on set have felt the same. So, you know, that's the thing I want to do. Mm-hmm. If I can, I have no other pressure than that, I guess.
Right. And the character, Kylo Ren, is such a great complex character, too. Even if you weren't set in the world of lightsabers and costumes and all the other stuff, that world is fantastic. But the character, like who he is as a person, is there's a lot of humanity in that, too, which I think has got to be a draw as well.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, our first conversations with JJ were all about the first thing, you know, was about story and character.
Right.
And he gave me a kind of a blueprint of where he saw the character going that I'm really excited that we're fine. That the last piece of it is about to come out, because it was, you know, it has to be a breathing person or no one will care. And
right.
He's definitely, hopefully it is that. And JJ is definitely someone whose character over spectacle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's incredible. I love the series.
Good.
Kids love it too, obviously. So I've seen it a lot.
Okay.
I've had a lot of time for judgment.
Too much. Yeah.
Yeah. Was there a favorite in Marriage Story? Was there a favorite or a scene you were most anxious about? Because you have a lot, like the fight scene, the knife scene, the scene in, you know, when you have to sing Being Alive. And was there something that spoke to you more than others, or one that you were more thrilled when it was done?
I, you know, there's always that one scene in a movie where you're overthinking or anticipating or dreading or excited to do that you're aware of in the schedule. Like, oh, it's, you know, it's not, it's too soon. Or, you know, I don't have an understanding of, I haven't found my feet yet of a character or, and really, honestly, for this movie, every scene felt, and again, which is a testament to his writing, the stakes were so incredibly high that they all felt like too early in the schedule. Like Halloween to me felt way too early in the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
When we were doing that, the fight seemed too early in the schedule. Because he wrote scenes where there was such a sense of urgency, even small scenes that I thought, oh, this will be, I don't have to overthink this so much. When you actually have to say the lines to Ezzy, you know, your who plays Henry in the movie, to your son, or you have to say him to Alan Alda, then they take on a whole different meaning that on the page, you know, wasn't so obvious. So they all kind of felt that way in a good way, that we felt we were making it, and it all felt urgent, you know, at the front of our feet. But that's my, again, long answer.
Mm-hmm. No,
there wasn't any one thing in particular. The fight was hard, but it was hard because it was longer, you know.
Right.
We shot it for 2 days, where most scenes we just, you know, had the afternoon or the morning, but that just went on for a lot longer, but the stakes still felt as high.
I want to talk about the arts.
Oh, yeah.
For military, right?
Yeah, arts in the armed forces.
Arts in the armed forces.
Yeah,
thank you.
One
of the things that is absolutely true, and I grew up, my father spent his life in the military.
Oh,
is
what
that
branch?
He had two branches. He was a colonel in the Army and a captain in the Navy, because he started as an infantry, whatever, and then did the GI Bill and went to college, and he just stayed in the military. So we grew up right outside of Lowry Air Force Base.
Oh, okay,
Colorado.
Yeah.
So I remember, this is why this speaks to me, I remember as a kid going and seeing the movies in the theaters, and they would always be a year later or whatever, but you'd go to the military theater and you'd always have to stand, and Pledge of Allegiance would come, then you'd see the movie, and that was the extent of it, right? Because a lot of our life revolved around that base. And it's the one thing, and I think you would agree because you spent time obviously in the Marines, is that as a soldier, you can't afford to think about politics. You can't afford to think about anything other than the task at hand, right?
Yeah.
And
by design. It's structured that way.
Correct.
So you can respond
right
at a synapse.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So you can do what you are there to do.
Right, yeah.
And this idea of bringing in this very thing that makes people think, that's the whole part of it, is like
right.
to think of something different or to feel something different or unexpected. I just love that you are doing that. And I want you to tell me a little bit more about it. Like,
yeah, it was this thing that was in the Marine Corps, then I got out and went to acting school at Juilliard, which couldn't, seemingly were the polar opposites, but actually the crossover is very obvious to me, of working with a unit. You know, you're trying to accomplish a goal that's bigger than any one person. It's not about you. You have one role. you have to support that thing you're doing and support the other person in their role. And then together you're making this thing that has nothing to do with you, but it's, you know.
You're only as good as your weakest link.
It's true. It's totally true. And you have to be there to support everybody, you know, in front or behind the camera. And there's a director who's leading it. And if they know what they're doing, what you're doing feels important. And when they don't, it feels like a waste of time and dangerous. Obviously, the stakes are incredibly different, but.
It's like athletes too, oftentimes when they transition into acting, make really good actors.
But I noticed a change in myself that for the first time I was able to, through theater, through this abstract way of expressing something, was able to articulate a feeling in a way that just because from my background or from the military, I didn't have the language before. And it wasn't streamers or Henry V. It was Shepard or Tony Kushner, you know, like, True West is teaching me, giving me this thought more about brotherhood and genetics and escaping your history than I hadn't really thought of. And that really articulated this thing that I had in the military. And I'm like, what better community to share a new means of expressing a thought than the people that were asking to protect our country from my community that I just came from? Because as much as the Marine Corps or any branch of the military prides itself on having acronyms for acronyms, it's very lost in creating a space where people collectively talk about a shared experience. And would they respond to that? You know, because your job is supposed to respond at a synapse. Do you really want people thinking? And yes, obviously you do. You want people to be able to process something that's happened that does nothing but make anyone, if anything, a stronger grunt or airman or soldier. So we decided to create this thing that was very pared down so we could really go to these theaters, and all these bases have it, these theaters that are just used as a movie theater, but where we just read contemporary American plays that have nothing to do with the military and start. We'll do a day of training with them, and then they'll come to this reading afterwards. There's no sets or costumes, no lights. Everything is pared down. We just read a play and have a conversation afterwards about what the play means, and it has sparked some of the best conversation about, you know, it's what makes it really fun to be an actor. People are like, I've never seen they're saying the things that you hope people say when they leave theater, of like, that was really challenging, or I've never seen a play before. There's something about seeing it live that, as you know, spoke to me in a way that a movie can't. You know, it's a really exciting project. It's a logistical nightmare, but we travel on the performances itself. The performances itself are really great. We've gone to, you know, Kuwait, to Longstuhl, to Walter Reed Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland. We do a performance on Broadway. And, you know, it's kind of great. It demystifies, it builds a bridge between the military and performing arts community that, you know, they're not very dissimilar. And hopefully gives language to a community that I was told wouldn't understand it. You know, that I reached out to veterans organizations. They kept telling me that, no, that theater doesn't fit a military demographic. Mm-hmm. They'd rather see cheerleaders. And which, I mean, cheerleaders are fine. Yeah. But so that's that project in a nutshell, I guess, is we perform plays for a military audience and bond, I think, over our shared humanity, not necessarily our occupation.
Right, or your differences, or the sharing. Do you feel like if you grew up in middle of nowhere Indiana, do you feel like you have, by virtue of your career and living your life, do you think you've given inspiration to other people in middle of nowhere Indiana about possibilities in the world out there?
I don't know. I don't think of... I don't know. I haven't really thought about that. I guess that would be good, but I don't, I guess.
I hope so. I like to say. I hope so, just because it is unique.
It's not my intention to.
Of course not. You're like, I'm going to show it. Yeah.
I have a list of people that I'm trying. I don't know that what I'm doing qualifies as that. Because that would almost imply that I have a master plan or ownership or control, and I don't.
No, you have no ownership, right?
I've been lucky, and I work hard. But there's a lot of actors that work hard, and I've been, for one reason or another, put in this position. I mean, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
Well, it's true. It's like, look, you as a kid watched a lot of movies, right? All the people that are drawn as to this profession, you know, we had some entry point of things that were important to us. And it's just, it's so interesting and inspiring when one person, because it is such a gauntlet and luck and all these things play into it, actually gets out and gets to do that thing.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about it. What I think for you, it's got to be reaching someone we don't even know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm just, it's surreal that I get to work with the people that I've, you know, that thing where you always see people from afar and who have served as an inspiration to you that suddenly you're in dialogue with about something that they're trying to create is a very, it's a hard thing to articulate. Maybe that's why I'm so inarticulate about it. But it's very surreal.
Well, I love this community that you and Noah have. And I talked to him a little bit about it, but it reminds me of what I've read about all those.
Cassavetes, for example.
Exactly. Cassavetes, all these filmmakers had in the 70s when they were just starting out. And now they're all bold-faced names and have gone on to win Oscars and have huge careers.
Sure.
But it feels like you guys have a bit of a lot of that, actually, this just dialogue around what you're trying to do and a trust and a benevolent competitiveness to push each other.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's like, again, that's history that I mean, because we were talking about Cassavetes, the amount of people who are all intertwined in a room, that generation in particular, George Lucas and Brian De Palma and Spielberg and Scorsese all creating things in rooms and the trial and error. Scorsese was telling me this awesome story that he was sleeping on the set of one of Cassavetes' sets and like the phone rang and he picked it up the phone and it said prop phone. You know, he was like, he was living on the set, you know, and their lives were so intertwined. The friendship, work, relationship is very blurred, and I don't know if we're necessarily honoring that history. That might sound so too self-important, but it just seems like an organic way of creating something is through constant dialogue, as opposed to that not having that relationship, being locked in a room with someone and having to use your words to communicate a thought. It just seems to make sense to me or to us, I guess, as a way of working, you know?
Well, I love about Marriage Story is
it's like a theater troupe, sorry.
No, go ahead.
But we were actually talking about that at dinner the other night. What's great about those, theater troupes. We were talking about this with Noah and Laura Dern, and you don't see a lot of them now, and it feels very more familiar. You can work faster also.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the Worcester Group I was saying.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same actors doing the same, what's our season look like? How are we going to do this? And it changes, they don't change, but what they do changes over time. And obviously every season they put on the productions.
Or you get cast in things that you know is your weakness. You know, if anything, just to make you a stronger actor. It's like there's more freedom to fail. They just know. I mean, that's a great thing about being a conservatory at Juilliard. It's just so familiar. That's like anyway. I'm again losing.
It's very interesting.
It's not about the thing. It's not about the end result. It's about the working on it. You know, that to think of it as an end result is, somehow makes it dead in a way. You know, you kind of have to fail in making it. And it's, if you're around people you trust, your impulses to make bold choices, I think just the bar is set in a way that's more comfortable, I think.
Yeah, you challenge yourself. Yeah. That's great. Well, that's what I've seen this film many times along the festival circuit with everybody. And I watched it again very recently knowing I was going to see you guys and I'm seeing Laura later about just to get myself back into what spoke to me. And what's so great about Noah's films is they never feel complete. I feel I want to know what the conversation's still happening. Right. Feels, and I mean that as a compliment. Just like what's happening now with Charlie and Nicole, and is Henry is how's that happening? And you know, are they together? Are they? Did it get better? Did it get worse? I love that.
Yeah. Well, his writing is so voyeuristic, and you can tell that he just loves every one of them. He's such a good. He's so aware. He's an aware person in life. He is able to articulate things and communicate thoughts with such clarity that and economy, which is not a very incendiary word, but economy is a really beautiful thing. It's something really to strive for, that he is so disciplined about maintaining in his scripts. Things will change, but in degrees, you know, and with that kind of specificity and attention to detail and commitment to and love of characters, you know, it's not an accident that he creates these great scripts, you know, and they're really I'm really lucky to know him. He's really is such a great filmmaker.
Well I think that he got your, I mean, no other actor could have played this role of Charlie other than you, and no other director. I just feel like it's this lightning in a bottle, this movie and these performances.
Oh,
it's
thank you.
Tremendous. And I congratulate you on
thank
that.
Thank you very much.
And I know you've got a million other things that you're doing, and I am just excited to really watch you watch what else you do, because you just get lost in no one sees Adam Driver in an Adam Driver movie. Which I think is one of the hardest things to basically maintain or have or be as an actor. But my hat is off to you, sir.
Wow, that's very, that's a very
thank
nice
you for
thing
coming
to
in.
Say.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Believe me, I tell the truth.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, believe me, I tell this to everybody.
No, I don't. I don't. Yeah. Trust me on that.
Oh, okay.
Bedside manner is not my best quality.
Thanks so much for joining me. Marriage Story is streaming now on Netflix. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you've been listening. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Krista Smith. Join me next time for more meaningful conversations here at Present Company.